Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Then Jesus had stepped out on land. There met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes. And he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. This is our text. There's a story told of a man who often took a shortcut through the heart of a cemetery on his way home from work. Well, one night he worked a little later than he thought, and by that time the sun had already set, it had become dark, and as he made his way through the cemetery, he was unaware of the fact that there was a freshly dug grave, and he fell into it. It was 7 feet deep, and the man wasn't very tall, and he struggled and clawed and tried to climb his way out, but after about an hour of struggle, he finally just gave up and sat down and would decide to wait till morning. It was a few hours later that there was a farmer hunting possums that made his way into the cemetery, and he too fell into this open grave. The first man, he sat there and he heard the man, but it was so dark couldn't see him, and he heard him struggling as he had done before, and finally he reached his hand over and said, "You can't get out of the grave." But the farmer did. To the Jews of that day, a grave, even to touch it, was to make you unclean. Unclean would be unable to go into the synagogue to worship among fellow Jews. This is where the demonic man of the Gerasenes found himself awake each morning. Now, as you read through the text, he didn't wake up one morning and say, "You know what? It sounds really cool to be demon-possessed. I think I'll try a couple thousand of them." No, not at all. Demonic possession isn't kind of like the flu that you kind of catch a bug. The reality is that somewhere in this man's life, he had decided that, "I want to be free. I want a free conscience. I want to do things the way that I want to do them, apart from God's influence, apart from God's impositions. I want to be free. Free from life's restrictions and responsibilities. I want to be free to do what I want to do." In this morning's gospel lesson, we find a man who is by all means free. No shackle could bind him. No clothes would be found upon his flesh. He had no responsibility to anyone. In fact, everyone was afraid of him. No job, no family, no nothing. Just a grave, no clothes. Free to do exactly as he pleased. But you see, the problem was is that his freedom had cost him everything. Family, friends, health, everything. You know, if you look at the Gallup poll, 9 out of 10 Americans believe in God. It's amazing, right? 9 out of 10. Unfortunately, not 9 out of 10 find themselves in worship to receive the gifts that he died to give, but 9 out of 10 believe in God. You have any idea how many people believe in the devil? 43%. 90% believe in God, only 43% believe in the devil, and it's just how Satan wants it. You know, the depictions in our society as the devil is what? The red pajamas with the tail out the back, the horns, the pitchfork, and that menacing smile. Perhaps smells a little bit like sulfur. That's the image we have of Satan, and it's just the way that he likes it. He likes people to think of him that way. Because quite honestly, it's unbelievable. Contrary to popular belief, the devil doesn't care if charitable giving goes up. The devil doesn't care if the crime rate goes down. The devil doesn't care if you go out of your way to help your neighbor in whatever way you can. The devil doesn't care if a cure for cancer is found. The devil doesn't care if we are one big, happy family. As long as we are one big, happy family cruising down the broad road that leads to hell. You see, Satan doesn't care if there's a church on every corner. In fact, the more the merrier. Do you see? I don't care. Demons don't care if we talk about God, as long as the God that we talked about is not the God wrapped in human flesh who would go to the cross and suffer and die for the sins of all humanity. Demons don't care if we talk about God as long as He's only a moral teacher. Devil don't care if we talk about God if He's just a liberator. Or if He's just a great unifier. Or if He's just that what would Jesus do kind of Jesus. The only God, the only Jesus that Satan hates for us to talk about is the enfleshed Jesus who would suffer and die for our sins. That's it. Aside from that, you can think of the devil however you want to, believe in him or not, it doesn't matter. Just don't place your faith in Jesus. And then you're free. Free like this man to do as you will. Follow your own desires. You're the captain of the universe. Do things the way that you want them done. There's no God to menace in your life. No God to tell you how to live. And sooner or later you look exactly like the man found in today's gospel lesson. Now the demoniac in the gospel lesson this morning was out of control. In fact, not only physically, but mentally, and most assuredly spiritually, completely and utterly out of control. And his encounter with Jesus was explosive. Jesus no more than steps foot on the Gerizim shore, and this man comes rushing out of the tombs because he knows who Jesus is. You can about imagine the feeling of the disciples as they're behind Jesus preparing to disembark. And this man who was completely and utterly naked, I assume covered with scars from the bonds that once held him, out of his mind, screaming and yelling, come rushing down the beach right to the boat. Arms flailing around and screaming. Can you imagine the apostles as they gawk and they gulp and put one foot right back in the boat again? You see, the man had a spiritual problem. The townspeople had tried to help him. In fact, it says in the Gospel of Mark that no one could bind him anymore. They tried to restrict him for perhaps he didn't hurt himself or scare the children. But they had tried to help him as best they could. Apparently, at some point in the past, they could help. But that day had gone by. And now nothing would restrain him. He was completely and utterly free to do as he wished. Our text begins, it says that when, let us go over to the other side, for Jesus Christ knew where he was going. He knew that this crazed man was there inhabiting the tombs in the land of the Gerizims. He knew he was there. In fact, I would suggest that Jesus heard his cry for help. We see in our text Jesus commanded the demons to come out of the unclean man. How could he do that? Because he is God and he has the power to do all things. As you read through the Gospels, we see Jesus demonstrating his power over many things. In fact, he told the sea and the wind and the waves, calm, be still, and it was placid. He had healed the sick. He had cured leprosy. He had even raised the dead, and now today Jesus Christ was showing his power over the devil and himself. The gospel goes on and says Jesus cast the demons out of the man, and they entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. I believe the pigs that were suddenly possessed by the evil spirits were compelled by the Spirit of God to rush into the lake and to drown. Do you realize that demons don't like water? They don't like it. In fact, Scripture says, whoever believes in me, Jesus talking, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him. Where was Jesus tempted by the devil? In the wilderness. In the dry, arid wilderness. And now they were plunged into the depths of the sea, and we don't hear anything else from them. See, dryness represents a void from God himself. You ever feel like you're just shriveled up spiritually? You're not growing, you're just really struggling? Kind of like being outside the last, say, week or more. It's like walking into an oven. It just saps your energy. It takes it all away from you. That's what life apart from faith in Christ is really like. It's a dry, arid place where spiritless people hang out and where the Spirit of God does not dwell. King David said the rebellious dwell in a dry place. This is also true of Christians, believers, who have neglected God. We become dry. We become empty of all that really matters. In our minds, we think we're free. We have the luxury of doing as we please, but inwardly we are dying and passing away. 2,000 dead swine, and a man who had the power to break chains, sitting subdued in the presence of Jesus Christ, was enough to frighten the townspeople. And the hog farmers did what's really predictable. They ran into town to get reinforcements, to tell everyone what had happened. You got to remember that they were Gentiles. They could eat pork. Their dinner went into the sea, and they weren't happy about it. And what's the first thing the people did? They wanted to come out and see for themselves. It's kind of like an accident on the freeway. Everyone's going to rubberneck. We want to see what happened. And when they showed up, what they'd say to Jesus? They wanted him to leave. He wasn't welcome there. The man who had been cleansed asked Jesus to go with him. I can about imagine the words, please, please take me with you. Don't leave me here. And Jesus said to him, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. There it is. It's a commissioning. Your first missionary. 1 minute crazy. The next minute in Christ. No teaching. No training. Only thing he knew that Jesus scared the hell out of him. And he was excited to go with Jesus and to be in his presence forever. Because he knew the freedom that Christ had given. Maybe even more surprising is that Jesus wouldn't allow him to come along. But Jesus had a plan for him to make known what God had done for him in his life that would literally change everything. When I first read through this text, I was kind of thinking to myself, okay, I can do Isaiah and that text or Galatians and the whole baptism thing. And with Annette's baptism recognition today, that would have been a good text to do. But there was something about a demon-possessed man that caught my attention. The more I looked and the more I studied, the more I began to realize that he really represents you and me. Doesn't he? The fact of the matter is, from the baptismal liturgy, it says these words. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as His own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That's you and me. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, we are bound. We are under the power of the devil, and we like it. Because in the back of our minds, we at times act as if it makes us free. Free to do whatever I want to do. Free to not be under God's eternal commandments. But then baptism comes and we're washed. Guess what happens when you pass through the water of holy baptism? Satan is evicted. He's evicted. Just like in this crazed man of the Gerasenes, you who were once dead in your trespasses and sin have now been made alive. The victory is yours through water and word. You are a new creation. I often like to tell people our baptismal font has 8 sides. You know why? 7 days of creation and the 8th day is heaven. Those that established this congregation left that legacy for you. To realize that through that water and word, not only are you a new creation, but you're a part of the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Every Sunday, as we gather here, we're reminded of that exorcism that has taken place in our own lives. You know, but there are times when we find ourselves wandering back out into the desert again just to kind of see what it was like and to kind of have those remembrances and the things of God begin to kind of pass away and we kind of, the Baptists call it backsliding. But I like to tell people, get all of the benefits that God has for you. Oh, it reminds me of the story of this guy from the city that bought a farm and decided that he was going to buy a milk cow. In the feed store one day, he started complaining to the owner that his milk cow had gone dry. The proprietor says, "Are you feeding her right?" The man replied, "I'm feeding her what you have been selling me." "Are you milking her every day?" "Just about. If I need 6 to 8 ounces of milk for breakfast, I go out and get it and let her save up the rest." The feed store owner had to explain that it doesn't work that way. You must take all the milk every day. Jesus didn't let the man come to him because there is more gifts that Christ was giving. For you and me, when we gather in this place, we don't re-baptize you every time you come in, do we? But the Holy Spirit still working through means is giving the gifts that He died to give you strength as you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, as you pass through the gravestones in your life. The body and blood of Christ given and shed for you to give you strength for each new day. Forgiveness for all the times that you wander back into the wilderness just to see what it was like again. Words of absolution that speak Christ's forgiveness to you. Yeah, this morning, if you go away from the service with nothing else than this, take away from it that Jesus is the one who not only exposes the demons, but deals with them. Jesus is the one who has gone out into the wilderness to seek you out, to set you free. And if Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.